Today on Real Radio.
Principles. Nothing wrong with principles. Nothing wrong with the 12 steps for a meaningful life. But I'd like to hear the message. Is the message, does number one to the 12 steps, is that you must be born again? That you need Jesus Christ to save you from your sins?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. In fact, we've been hearing a series within a series called Living in the Days of Deception. Now, that's days spelled D-A-Z-E. It's an examination of the opening verses of 1 John chapter 4. Here's where the apostle warns the believer, do not be deceived. And as we're learning, these words apply to you and me just as much as they did in the day when the apostle actually spoke them and wrote them. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing his series taken from this section of 1 John chapter 4. It's called Living in the Days of Deception.
Satan doesn't want his tactics exposed. One of his greatest tactics is for him to get, quote, ministers in the pulpit, even the ones, as he says, that shine forth as angels of light. He says, don't be concerned, tricked, marveled at such antics of Satan. Paul warns us that it's just his way to take his ministers and transform them into angels of light. Deception. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 24, you can jot it down or follow along with me. Matthew 13, 24, I'm going to give you three parables that have to deal with your life and mine right now, this evening, this church, and every work of God. Matthew 13, 24 says, and a parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares, false seeds, fake. Sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow until the harvest. And at the end, bind them and say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable he spoke. He put forth this to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it grows, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. No, they don't. This is weird. This is strange. He's talking about strange growth. This is abnormal for a mustard seed to do. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. Leaven is a type of, or in typology, is sin. In 3 of these parables, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, the work of God in the earth, the church. And Jesus warns us. He says there's going to be, as it were, birds lodging in its branches. Birds are always evil in Scripture. When it's not evil, he mentions the birds. Example, when it's not evil, he says, don't you all know that a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without your father knowing about it? That's a good context. Whenever he turns and says, but the birds come and pluck out or take the seed away and leave, when it's generic, it's bad. Or the birds of the air come and eat the flesh of those that have been slain. It's bad. He's warning about deception in the church. When he talks about the tares, by the way, it's interesting regarding tares, wheat, it looks just like wheat, grows up right alongside. But did you know that if you were to harvest them together and if you were to process them together, did you know that there's a type of toxin in the tare that not only is very sickening, but it can absolutely destroy the harvest. That's why in the parable, Jesus, knowing this, says, let's make sure that we separate the good from the bad at harvest time. Why? He's implying so that the bad is not processed with the good. We want to keep the good, good, and remove the bad. But don't do it until the very end, because there's a harvest, there's a judgment coming. And Jesus is saying, we'll wait, we'll let it go, because the end and the judgment will be thorough enough. As we look at these things, there's three things that we're going to consider this evening. I'm going to ask you to jot those down. And I say three things, just these three things up front, and we'll see how far we get. Regarding living in the days of deception, the first thing that we want to consider is this as we look to the scripture. First of all, these spirits, they confessed falsehood about Jesus Christ, and spirits will do that. And I'm not talking about some demonic spirit that walks by you. We're even talking about people who are promoting and propagating false doctrine. Note it, the spirits of who they are and what they confess will be falsehoods about Jesus Christ. And one of the things that they're going to do is they're going to be bent on the denial of his bodily existence. And this was a very, very key thing during John's time. The Gnostics absolutely were serious crusaders about this very thing. That's why he says in verse 3, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And listen, it's not just to confess, it's to, as the word truly means, ek homo legeo, it is to absolutely agree with God why Jesus came. You know, many cults and Satanists say Jesus came in the flesh, but it means here to hold to what is taught in the scripture. He came in the flesh because he's God. He came in the flesh being God. He came in the flesh to die for the sins of the world. The second thing that we notice is that regarding those that are of a deceiving spirit is that they'll attack his preeminence. Remember, we listened to a couple of them several weeks ago, how they destroyed or attempted to destroy the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting that you sat here and listened to him say such a thing? And then they turned around in the next clip and began to exalt themselves as gods. Everybody, as I said, gets to be gods but Jesus Christ, huh? They will attack his preeminence. He's the one and only. Thirdly, an ever-increasing presence these people will have in the church. That's encouraging. But it's true. Thank God the Bible warns us in advance. Amen? I'm glad about it. So in our note-taking tonight, let's just go with the first point this evening. The deception of easy believism is this. Number one, what is it? What is easy believism anyway? Well, let's look at it. You might want to write this down fast or get the tape later. Easy believism. Easy believism is the preaching and the teaching of a lesser gospel, which is rooted in conscious or unconscious neglect of the full counsel of God. It is an attempt to alter, change, replace, or recreate an alternative gospel message from that which has already been revealed in the biblical account. What is easy believism? It is to create or present a gospel message that is somewhat altered or different than what the true biblical message is. This is what's sad about our day and age in which you and I live in. Many people don't even know what the true gospel message is. There are Christians who don't even know how to give the gospel. They're not even quite sure what it is they believe in. My question is, can you be a Christian and not be sure what you believe in? That's debated in schools. But listen, it's very, very dangerous to preach something that is altered or lesser than the gospel that is given in Scripture. So our first thing that we look at tonight is this. What is easy believism? It's a modernization of the gospel. Let me explain that. It's a modernization of the gospel. Listen, your gospel, this book, though it's thousands and thousands of years old, it's not out of date. It is always current. You don't have to think of the Bible as being, you know, some old book, you know. Are you kidding? This thing lives and breathes, man. This thing knows what tomorrow holds. But when we modernize the gospel, what do we mean by modernize? When we take its true meaning and begin to water it down based upon our current conventional wisdom, what the political tide might say, or what is emotionally correct. Have you noticed our nation? We're not even into what conventional wisdom is anymore. We want what's emotionally correct. It's stupid, some of the things that are going on. I saw a thing where a guy started his lawnmower. He wanted to trim his hedge. He started a lawnmower. He picked up the lawnmower, and he was walking with the lawnmower trimming his hedge. Instead of going and renting a trimmer, he starts his lawnmower, picks it up, falls in a gopher hole, and the lawnmower fell on him and cut his fingers off. Now, in all honesty, somebody should have ran out of their house and then slapped him. He turned around and he sued Sears, Craftsman, for not having a label on the lawnmower saying for lawn use to be kept on the ground only, and the guy won. This is emotional, weird perversion of truth and of normal logic. Insane. A modernization, when you apply such thing to the gospel, then it's up for grabs. A modernization of the gospel, what do we mean by that? We mean this, the preaching of a social gospel, a social message. And listen, this is flooding the church. It's a, it's like this. I took the liberty to jot down a few. It's often masked in colorful flyers and gilded announcements. And it will say something like, come and visit us as we go through 12 steps of having a meaningful life. That sounds nice. But is it the gospel? People don't even care anymore. I'd rather go for the 12 steps for a meaningful life. Principles. Nothing wrong with principles. Nothing wrong with the 12 steps for a meaningful life. But I'd like to hear the message. Is the message, does number one to the 12 steps, is that you must be born again? That you need Jesus Christ to save you from your sins? I know that's pretty negative to bring up. 12 steps to having a meaningful life. How about this one? The 5 principles of successful living. That sounds great. I'd like to know 5 principles to successful living. But is it the gospel? See, we modernize the presentation of the gospel. We call it a church, but we come in and it's really not much different than what Tony Robbins does. Really, it's not. Somebody might pull out a verse here, pull out a verse there, and they call it church. And it's not a church at all. And people are being misled. It's dangerous. What is easy believism? You modernize the gospel to the point that if you would like to have, listen, if you would like to have these truths lived out in your life, these 12 steps to a meaningful life, then where you're sitting right now, why don't you bow your head and pray with me that God would bless you with these 12 steps. And the person leaves the building thinking that somehow they've had some sort of a connection with God. And they're on their path now. They're on their road. They've got the 12-step outline they got from the so-called sermon. And they head off with a little bit of what they perceive to be Christianity. And they're not converted. They're not changed. It's not the gospel. But it's a convenient substitute. Sounds great. But there's no spiritual application to it. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, 2 Timothy 4, 2, Paul told Timothy, preach the word, not hold a seminar. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Does this sound like today? But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn away their ears from the truth and will be turned aside to fables, stories. Let me tell you a story. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 17 says, "For Christ did not send me," Paul is saying, "to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The cross. What is easy believism? A modernization of the gospel. You probably won't get a cross mentioned in that kind of a message. Listen, the church should never lower its standard to get people into it. Never. Never, never, never. The church should always reach down and pull people up to where it's at. Always were to pick people up, that they might receive the grace of God. The second thing that we want to see here regarding what is easy believism, it certainly is the modernization of the gospel, wrapping it in today's trendy thing of what's going on and what's acceptable. But another thing is this, it's a gospel without a cross. You just heard here in this passage that the message of the cross is the very power of God for salvation. The cross preached, literally, the cross and all that it entails preached is the power that generates a man, a woman, a young boy, a young girl to Christ to save them. The preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. But listen, it's a gospel without a cross, easy believism. It's the preaching of what Dietrich Bonhoeffer called a cheap gospel. It's a gospel that is not given in its biblical accuracy. It's given according to the modern day trends. It's a neglect of the cross. It's a crossless gospel. Philippians 3:18 says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often," and Paul says, "I even now tell you weeping, that there are enemies of the cross of Christ." Isn't that amazing? Enemies of the cross of Christ. They didn't say enemies of the love of God. They didn't say enemies of the communion. They didn't say enemies of the ecclesia, the church. Paul said they're enemies of the cross, to attack the cross. Isn't it interesting that Mormonism, you ever seen a Mormon church with a cross on it? You won't. You won't ever. You won't see a Mormon wear a cross either. They won't. They despise the cross. I am not going to tell you what that spike means at each Mormon church. You have to find that out for yourself. Besides, there's young people in this room. I can't tell you what it means publicly. Find out for yourself. I love little children. They'll go by a Mormon church and they'll say, "How come it's not a cross on there?" Isn't it interesting also that the Jehovah's Witnesses, they attack the cross. They say Jesus was crucified on just an upright pole, not a cross. Well, I'm not making it. Listen, the point, of course, the point is Jesus was sacrificed for our sins. That's the point. But isn't it interesting that the Bible talks about the cross? The cross, the sign of the cross, has no power in and of itself. But it's the preaching of the cross that is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are saved, it's the power of God. But you see, easy believism, in its message, you won't hear a cross talked about. It's archaic, it's bloody, it's rugged, it's scary, it's hideous. It's not a gospel without the cross. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 says, Paul is speaking to the church at Galatia, he says, "I marvel that you are so soon turned away from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel." There are different gospels out there, which is not another. Galatians 1, 7, he says, "But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ." Paul says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than what you have heard preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said to you before, so now we even say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed or damned." Listen, it is on the basis of the cross that our sins were removed, And this is, as one Puritan spoke, as the grand doctrine, that justification and salvation are only through Christ and Him crucified. He, having made atonement for our sin, not only for ours only, but for the sin of the world by His suffering and by His death. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, we read it a moment ago. I want to read it again. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. The third thing that we see under this point, what is easy believism? It's the modernization of the gospel, making it trendy, making it cute. It is a gospel without the cross. The third thing is, it's a preaching that kills. It's a preaching that kills. How so? It's a preaching that kills in that in Titus chapter 1:16, Titus 1:16 says, they profess to know God, but in works deny Him. It's a preaching that kills and that it doesn't take any effect. It can't. It has no power. Easy believism is just to get people forward. If you'd like to receive Jesus, doesn't this sound normal? If you'd like to receive Jesus, come forward. Well, why doesn't everybody get up? Why doesn't the Satanists get up? Why doesn't everybody get up? If you'd like to have Jesus Christ come into your life, why don't you come down and the buses will wait and wait a minute. I got my Shell gas card, my American Express. I'll get my Jesus card too. I'll just add them on to easy believism. Is presenting a gospel or an attempt, it's a preaching that kills people. It gives them some sort of a false hope. It's dangerous.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from the first six verses of 1 John chapter 4, where the Apostle John issues a very strongly worded warning to true believers about not being deceived. It's a multi-part series called Living in the Days of Deception. Living in the Days, D-A-Z-E, of Deception. It's a series that's part of Pastor Jack's overall verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, written by the Apostle John. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, you may remember a while back here on Real Radio, we aired Pastor Jack's series on Ruth and Boaz. In fact, the title is Ruth and Boaz, Falling in Love God's Way. Well, it is indeed a fascinating narrative found in Ruth, chapter 2 and verses 4 through 17. And the requests for this series really came flooding in. So we thought, well, in honor of Valentine's Day, why don't we make that 2-CD series available to all Real Radio listeners once again? In this series, Ruth and Boaz, Falling in Love God's Way, Pastor Jack takes you through the biblical example of what falling in love should be like from God's perspective. It's taken from one of the most famous love stories of all time, Ruth and Boaz, living out a pure, deep, and committed attraction toward one another. Quite the contrast from today's climate of heated passions and uncontrolled lust resulting in relationships that, well, quite frankly, rarely succeed. Now, here's our offer. We'll send you Pastor Jack's 2-CD set, Ruth and Boaz, Falling in Love God's Way, for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Again, for your gift of any amount to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 2-CD set, Ruth and Boaz, Falling in Love God's Way. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and submit your gift right there online, realradioactive.org. Or give us a call if you'd like, the number 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like to write to us and send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Ask for it by name, Pastor Jack's series on two audio CDs, Ruth and Boaz, Falling in Love, God's Way. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.